Hello and welcome to the Checkpoint Reach podcast. I'm your host, Luke Elder. Today I'm joined by Matty. How are you doing, mate?
Good, thank you. Good. It's good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you.
It feels like an eternity now since I was last on the podcast, but here I am.
Has been a while. And if you guys don't know, Matty is the OG. He was one of the original co-hosts and we got him back. Here he is, Matty. Me and Matty are probably going to be doing a podcast, I don't know, like once every 2 weeks or something, just to round up news that we want to chat about, something like that. So it's going to be light and casual and something you can look forward to. You'll be seeing more of Matty then on the channel as a result. So get used to that lovely blonde streaky hair.
No, they've got to love it because there's no barbers open, so if they don't love it, it's tough.
Rest in peace. But yeah, we're here today to talk some gaming news and stuff like that. So before we do get into this, please give us a like and subscribe to the channel, help us grow and all that good stuff. If you want to join our Discord, links all in the description below, and we're building a bit of a community there so you can get in some discussions, maybe play some games with us online, because we are streaming at the moment, currently Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday nights at 11 PM GMT, YouTube and Twitch, playing some Football Manager, but you know that's going to be changing in the future. Mixing up streams and whatnot. So yeah, do look out for that. But the first topic we're going to jump in today is actually the Mass Effect Legendary Edition will dial down the butt shots. And little tag here, some fans are butthurt, which is an understatement, I think. This is an article from Polygon. It said, BioWare announced the release date and new details for the much-anticipated Mass Effect Legendary Edition this week. While the biggest updates in the remaster to the series are cosmetic, one specific change piqued the interest and ire of fans. The remaster will alter camera cuts that focus on characters' butts. Now, this specifically as well is to do with Miranda's butt. There's a picture of Miranda's butt there for you. BioWare cut some of the questionable camera angles out in Mass Effect 2, like the ones focusing on Miranda's butt, and the gamers are mad, and it's safe to say people are not happy with this. And this came after, I think it was a discussion between Kevin Meek here and project director Mac Walters at BioWare, and they were discussing how they can make changes because they didn't see the point of the angle showing Miranda's butt. So Matty, what do we think of this? I mean,
I guess there's two different camps as to why you'd be disappointed. I mean, I'm in the camp that I'm disappointed, but I'm disappointed because they're messing with the original game. You know, I was under the impression that the Legendary Collection was just going to be a new, you know, lick of paint basically for the for the first three games, which is, you know, much needed, especially for Mass Effect 1. I mean, Mass Effect 1 is very dated compared to the other two.
Yeah, it really is.
I just don't think there's any need. And I don't know why they felt the need to publicize it either. It's like, you know, they could have just, even if they did want to change it, I mean, just don't tell people.
Yeah, just
why,
do it.
Why turn it into a news story? I'm pretty sure no one would have noticed if you didn't tell people. But it's like, I don't even know how this got out into the wild in the first place. Like, why is that a relevant news story?
I've no idea. I've no idea.
You're just sitting there at BioWare and you think, actually, we'll publicize the fact that we've changed the butt shots in the remaster. Like, anyone even cares?
Well, it turns out people
results in.
Well, yeah, people actually do care. I'm with you though. I'm kind of, well, I'm not with you in the sense of disappointed, because I'm going to be honest, I'm kind of on the fence in terms of I don't really care. I like if the butts are in it. Good. If the butts aren't in it, good. I don't really care. I'm there for the Mass Effect story in the Legendary Edition. And I'm just glad it's coming, you know, a remaster is coming out. But I'm also with you in the sense of why? Like, why did they feel like we have to announce this? Maybe to get brownie points, bit of publicity. Game didn't need publicity. I mean, they got fans craving this anyway.
Yeah.
And when you then talk about the butts, like you said, if they took out those camera, well, they are. If they took them out and didn't tell us, I'm telling you, mate, I wouldn't have noticed.
No.
I would not have noticed.
I can guarantee there's probably about 10 people that would have. But, you know, I with regards to just the normal gamer, I wasn't really paying attention to the camera angles on certain people's bums at any point in any three games. So it's a bit of a weird one. Like you said, if they wanted to get publicity for the game, then just show us Mass Effect 1. In all its glory. You know, if you've updated Mass Effect 1 like, you know, they purported to have, then just show it us. Yeah. And I'm sure that would have got people a lot more hype than releasing a strange article about changing camera angles on butt shots. Just absolutely bizarre.
It is bizarre. Were you surprised that so many people felt so strongly about Miranda's butt?
I probably guessed that 95% of people were just jumping on the bandwagon to be a troll, to be honest. I imagine the majority of people don't really care, but it's kind of a funny bandwagon to jump on. And, you know, saying that out loud, maybe it does work as a publicity stunt. You know, it's gets something for people to be outraged about, because everyone loves to be outraged about something these days. So, why not change the camera angle on people's butts in Mass Effect and see what happens?
Mate, you're completely right. People do like to be outraged these days, unfortunately. I think I've seen as well people commenting saying, like, you know, it's censorship and this is what we don't want in games and all this sort of stuff. And I just think, I feel like this is blown way out of proportion. On both sides. That's why I'm sat in the middle, because I just feel like people are like, yes, this is brilliant, good, let's not objectify women's butts. It's like, oh my god, objectifying women's butts in a video game.
You're clutching at straws at the end of the day. I think everyone's clutching at straws. Maybe it's because we're all just sat in our houses in lockdown bored and we need something to do, but I don't know if it's the same. I think Mass Effect, the romances and the relationships that you had with the characters was one of the key aspects of the game. I wasn't really bothered about the romanticizing aspect of the original three games. I liked the relationships that I had with the characters, but, you know, it's like the sex scenes and stuff in Mass Effect, they're just so horrendously awkward.
Exactly.
Especially with, like, you know, when you're having, like, the sex scene with Tali and stuff like that.
She's got a mask on.
Exactly. What is that?
Yeah, that makes like zero sense.
Just gets into bed with a full spacesuit on, including mask.
Wait, it's right though. It's right. Like, I'm with you. I like the relationships I built on, obviously, an emotional level and just getting to know the characters more. Did not care about the sex scenes. Did not care about making the characters look sexy or anything like that. It's about building the emotional connection with the characters. And to be honest, my, like, mini plea to Mass Effect fans is, well, can we stop arguing over this and just come together and embrace the fact that we are getting a remaster? That's something.
Is it really a hill you want to die on? You're sitting there, you finally got the remaster you want, and you're just going to stand there on top of your hill and die on the fact that they've changed camera angles on people's butts. It's like,
yeah, come on. No. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it. But let's stop talking about butts for a bit, and let's chat maybe about the Mass Effect Legendary Edition, because people, if they are coming back to the channel, they've probably heard me and Sud talk about how much we love the Mass Effect OG trilogy and how much we wanted a remaster. But how about you, Matt? How excited are you for this?
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm probably less hyped than you. I think, to me, Mass Effect 2 was perfection in my mind at the time as to what an action RPG should be. Mm-hmm. I really thought that the way that they elevated the combat into such a great experience, the length of the game, you know, there was no filler. I mean, if you go back on previous podcasts, me and Sud talk a lot about, you know, RPG games, and especially modern RPG games, as just being seemingly, you know, how long can we make this? How much filler can we put in?
Yeah.
And there's no, you know, there's maybe like 5 to 10 hours of really engaging story content, and the rest is just fetch quests. Mass Effect 2, it was like 12 to 20 hours long, depending on how you played through it. But every single hour of that was meaningful.
Yeah, it was gripping.
And it was really, really good. And I think going back to it would kind of be one of those things where I start to see maybe little niggles with the game that I didn't see at the time. Mm-hmm. And that to me is probably why I won't play Mass Effect 2. If I do get the collection, I'll probably just play Mass Effect 1.
Oh, really? You're going to skip 2 completely then?
Potentially, yeah, because I got so much enjoyment out of it. It's on one of my, it's definitely in my top 5 games of all time. If you're talking about a list that I would make,
yeah,
I think I'd probably just skip it just to
Toy Soldiers 3D.
Yeah,
that in the top 5.
that just about scrapes the top 1,000.
We played a lot of that together back in the day.
There were some terrible games that we've played, but yeah,
we've played some horrendous games, mate. That is another story.
That's what going to Blockbuster every week and just renting a random game gets you. A lot of bad games.
R.I.P. Blockbusters, the good old days. But to be fair, I'm shocked that you're going to skip 2 all entirely because, what you've just touched on is one of your favourite games, so I thought you would be excited to jump back in, to be honest.
Yeah, it's, maybe see how I feel after the end of Mass Effect 1, but I'd definitely skip 2. I'd play 3 again because I need to approach that with a new, a new sort of set of eyes in a way, because at the time I was so disgusted at the ending, absolutely disgusted. It just tarnished the rest of the game. I barely even remember what happened in 3 because it's one of those things where I was just, maybe it was immature at the time, but I was just so outraged that, spoiler alert for anyone that's somehow not played Mass Effect, but you build up these relationships with so many different characters for the ending to just literally be 3 doors that you go in and select, and what you've done over the past 2 and 9/10 of the game doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And the ship mission, where if you forgot to upgrade your ship, you just watch people like smash their head off the cabinet and die just with no explanation, and like you don't even get you just get out of
no
the
context
ship and you don't even care. There's not even any emotion, it's just like, right, carry on.
Yeah, they're dead. They literally just bounce their head off the side and flop down. That's it.
It was such a shame. Maybe it was time, maybe it was the limitations of the original hardware, but they opened up all these multiple chains and multiple paths for so many characters, and to end it in such a linear, boring way was just a really disappointing way to end the series. And
yeah,
that's why, I'm hoping that the new Mass Effect that we do get, that obviously continues the story of Shepard, sort of pulls some of that back a bit and tries to make it the game that Mass Effect 3 should have been, I guess.
Mm. Well, see, I remember this obviously quite a bit because I played it after you guys had completed it, and I remember talking with, Sud Perks. Ted hadn't played it at the time, I don't think, but you guys were saying, the ending. Not going to spoil it, obviously, but the ending's not great. We weren't fans. I was kind of like you, man. When I completed Mass Effect 3, I was just sat there like, oh, man, that's like a gut punch. It's just it's a punch to the gut. You're sat there thinking, oh, all that for that. I feel like, I don't know, I guess when you paint it in your own mind of how you think things would go with certain characters and stuff like that, it's probably never really going to be met, but it was definitely a lot worse than I thought initially. However, I do think what you said is quite true. A lot of people judge Mass Effect 3 because of the ending, so they don't take the whole game into consideration, and I believe that it's actually a really good game, and it was something I was really enjoying up until the end. So I think going back in with a fresh perspective of, obviously, we're older now as well, so maybe we're less immature and stuff like that. I mean, that's debatable. But we'll play it. And obviously, like you said, a fresh perspective and maybe a newfound love for Mass Effect 3. I don't know what they're going to do with the ending. Probably nothing, I'm assuming. Are they going to canonize a certain ending, or do you think we're just going to be given the same choice?
I think it'll stay the same.
Yeah.
There was a DLC for it, wasn't there? I mean, I'm not too familiar with this because I just sort of abandoned all hope for the series after that ended. So I didn't really care that they'd released the DLC, but apparently the DLC, edited some of the endings. I'm not sure in exactly which way that was done, but again, I'm assuming they'll just have the DLC ending, whichever one that was.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that'll be the case. One of the good things, though, that we have heard about the Mass Effect Legendary Edition is the fact that apparently they are making quite a few tweaks to Mass Effect 1 combat and stuff like that, as well as the Mako, thank God. Yeah, that was rough. So I am glad with that. I did see some people tweet though saying like, oh, I kind of wish they didn't change the Mako because as bad as it is, it was nostalgic, and I was just thinking, nah, it's bad. Yeah, it was awful. So I am glad with that, and I'm still excited for it. So yeah, we'll see how the Mass Effect Legendary Edition pans out, but I'm sure it's something we'll talk about on the channel when it does come out. Anyway, let's move on though onto the second topic of the day, and it's another game we have highly criticized in the past. That's probably putting it mildly, to be honest, but it's EA reportedly deciding the fate of Anthem later this week. This is an article from Games Radar. Anthem Next is meant to include major changes to the game system, UI, and more. However, EA is reportedly making the final decision on the future of Anthem as a whole later this week, according to Bloomberg. This is just a little bit of a backstory of launch, famously in 2019. Obviously, we all know about the launch. It was not good. It was not good at all, and the game was barren, to say the least. I had the unfortunate pleasure of playing it. Since then, Anthem 2.0 has come to be known as Anthem Next, but according to Bloomberg, it's unclear if EA want to give developers the budget to make the revamp game happen. The author of last year's blog post detailing the future of Anthem, executive producer Christian Daly. Oh, that's a legendary name for me and you, Matt. Christian Daly, Scottish legend. I mean, that is a very niche reference. Left the Anthem dev team last December and now EA will decide the game's fate. So, what do you think of this? Do you think that Anthem deserves to be, you know, taken out to the back like old Yeller? Or do you think it should be given a bit more budget to bring in the necessary people to, you know, take Anthem Next into the future?
It's tough to say, really, for me, because obviously the release date of Anthem was 2019. And as fans of the podcast know, it was a sparse year for me. I was in and out of different houses. So, you know, I was like, really, am I going to play this game? No, not really. So I just sort of relied on the opinions of you, Perks and Sud. And if there was ever a game that was made for anyone, Anthem was made for Perks. He was just coming off the back of Destiny. He absolutely loves these type of MMORPGs, you know, the grind. It's not that he loves the repetitiveness, it's just some people like that type of game. I get it. To have him just give such an absolutely overwhelming critique of the game with just complete hatred was just, you know, summed up to me that this game was shambolic. I didn't even have to play it to know that it was just a train wreck. So with EA, I mean, they tried to monetize it by releasing a load of skins. Didn't make any sense. And I guess they had the option there and then to back it and try and get it the updates that it needed to get up to speed. But from what I understand, they've just left it completely in the dark and not bothered to update it at all. Mm-hmm. And whether that's on the developer or whether that's on EA, I'm sure we'll never really know. We do obviously have the situation with Battlefront 2, which is maybe a similar type of situation. It was released to really bad critical acclaim online, really bare bones, but the developers did step up and as we've seen over the last few months with the game going free and millions of players playing it, the content that's added has been really well received. Obviously Anthem is definitely not in the same boat. They seem to have just done nothing with that game, so it wouldn't surprise me if they just binned it off. It doesn't seem to me like an IP worth keeping or backing. I mean, can you really see an Anthem 2 being something that people are going to go and pick up off the shelves? I think
no,
it's lost all credibility. So, you know, I guess if they want to use that studio again for another game, maybe they should just be, you know, getting them to make a new IP or moving them over to more established projects.
Yeah, I think with Anthem, it was such a bad start. It was such a bad start. Me, Sud, and Perks, as you've touched on, played it when it first came out, and we were quite cautiously optimistic, I guess, at the time. I mean, maybe if I look back, that might be wrong, but I feel like that's how we were because it was obviously BioWare. So we gave them that, you know, benefit of the doubt, let's see how this game is, and man, it was so boring. So boring. I mean, I know a looter shooter isn't really for me anyway. And like you've said, it is for Perks. This is the sort of game that Perks should absolutely love. There was nothing. There was nothing that hooked you, nothing that kept you. And I thought, playing it, is this just because I don't like looter shooters, you know? It's not for me. I'm going to hate it, probably. I'm not going to like it anyway. But then when Perks was saying how bad it was, and then obviously you're seeing the online community react to it and saying how bad it was, I was like, oh my God, this game is in trouble then. It's not just me seeing this and thinking this is awful. Like, there was hardly any content. The only good thing about it, in my opinion, was the flying mechanics and the actual combat was pretty good. But other than that, the game was just barren, not worth it. And to be honest, to see this news coming out, I'm not that surprised. I mean, EA don't really think twice, do they? If something's failing and not bringing in the money that they expect, then to can it just seems like the obvious decision on their part, because they've done that in the past. They're ruthless. I can't remember which one it was. Wasn't there Didn't EA do this to a Star Wars game and studio not long ago, a couple of years back? Can't remember, but they just out of nowhere just cancelled it and like closed down the. Oh, did they begin with V?
Yeah, it was the studio that was set up with Amy Hennig as the, yes, the lead sort of creative director to mm-hmm. make a new Star Wars, a sort of, you know, action adventure style Star Wars. And it, like you said, it was just canned out of the blue.
So yeah,
it's a weird one.
So they're ruthless, and when it comes to Anthem, like, mate, honestly, like you touched on, even if they did pull it out of the bag, the devs, and they create like this brilliant game that, you know, if given the chance, that people could love, how many people after being burnt so badly would actually jump back into it?
Yeah. I would. The name of Anthem is tarnished and the name of EA is tarnished as well. So
mm-hmm.
it's going to be very hard to sell that to gamers. You know, EA presents Anthem 2. I think I'll pass.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'll pass on that. But I mean, I think one of the things we were concerned with at the time, to be honest, was actually BioWare's future when Anthem yeah. first came out, and, you know, what a flop it was. But now they're bringing out the Mass Effect Legendary Edition. They've teased a new Mass Effect game coming out in the franchise. Obviously, they've got Dragon Age coming. So do you think that EA have just said, right, well, let's just can Anthem and you guys focus on the next Dragon Age and Mass Effect?
Wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, despite the fact that I think 90% of the executives have probably got no brain when it comes to gaming, have probably never picked up a controller in their life, I do think there's probably still a few executives there that have got a brain. And it makes no sense to have BioWare, who do Mass Effect and Dragon Age well, they do action RPGs well, to put them on a project that they don't even want to be doing, most likely. It just didn't make any sense to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to, I mean, there was real worry, like you said, at one point that BioWare were going to get canned and Dragon Age and Mass Effect were just going to be no more. I mean, I'm sure the IPs would have been resurrected because they're too valuable not to be, but I mean, BioWare are at the heart of those games. So I'm glad that we've got BioWare making these games, but as to how many of the original members of the teams are even left.
Yeah, that's a good point, mate.
It's hard to actually predict at this point. So
yeah,
I'm cautiously optimistic about Dragon Age and Mass Effect. I'm happy that they're in development, but I need to wait and see before, you know, I decide to pick them up or not.
Yeah. Well, you touched on a good point. It's something we spoke about on podcast gone by. Like, I fantasize about BioWare in my head, you know, the Mass Effect OG trilogy, and I think, oh, they, you know, what a company, they make great games, but it's not the same people. The heart of BioWare that are in the Mass Effect trilogy, I'm pretty sure, is gone now. I actually think it, I mean, there might be people who are working in, you know, lower end who've gotten promoted throughout the company, but climb the ladder. I'm pretty sure, though, that basically the heart behind the Mass Effect OG trilogy is gone. So now we are left with just BioWare, and we don't know what they're actually going to produce moving forward. We can hope that the Dragon Age franchise will carry on being pretty good, because I actually liked Inquisition. I don't know if that's an unpopular opinion, but I thought it was all right.
Yeah. It was in the middle, really, with it. Certainly, it was a big departure from Dragon Age 1 and 2. But yeah, I think a lot of people did enjoy that game. It came out at the right time, right at the start of the last generation. So a lot of people picked it up. So the majority of people that have played it seem to have enjoyed it. So.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one that I missed out on just because of the length of time that it takes to complete the game, to be honest. I mean, like, you know, it's 50 to 100 hours to complete a playthrough, which is a bit lengthy for me, but
yeah, mate,
these days
every game's like that these days, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
You touched on when talk about Mass Effect, how, you know, there's filler and stuff like that, and the game that just sprung to mind straight away was Valhalla. I don't know if you've played it yet.
Could not get into it at all. It's like you said, very, very similar to what the points we were just touching on. Massive open world. I'm sure the story's great. There's not enough of it between going around and doing fetch quests. It's not for everyone. I'm surprised that a lot of games try and carry on doing this, to be honest. I think it's there's almost this fear with developers and with publishers that a 10 to 15 hour game can no longer exist. You know what I mean? It's like, you're either a service game that people with online that people are going to contribute money to on a sort of, you know, pay for skins, basically, mm-hmm. or season pass, battle pass, whatever moniker you want to put it under, or you're a 100-hour RPG. There's no middle ground, and that AAA 8 to 12-hour game seems to slowly be dying in our industry, which is a real shame because they are some of the best crafted games ever made. You know, instantly BioShock springs to mind, you know, Mass Effect 2. These were sort of commonplace, you know, in sort of 2007 to, you know, 2015.
But they seem to be gone.
It seems like they are slowly dying, yeah.
Yeah, you do make a good point. Nearly every game that seems to come out these days is just what you touched on. They're either, there's this massive RPG that it's just takes like 50 to 100 hours to complete with a lot of filler and not enough substance, or you get these online service games that, I mean, yeah, I guess I do play some of them, obviously, but I don't want to always play them. I mean, I'd love to pick up a linear story-driven game and just enjoy it for what it is. And like you said, you know, the 10 to 15 hour mark, get those games back, man. I miss them massively. There's a massive hole. You're right. There is a massive hole in the industry for them. Maybe we should make our own.
Yeah. We'll raid EA, the skips behind EA where they've thrown all their members of staff that they've just sacked from the Anthem division and
lure
try
them
and get them to make a 10 to 12 hour game for free.
For free, yeah. Great proposition for you. But no, man, you're completely right. That's something me and Sud have complained about as well on the podcast in the past. It's just, we need them. We need them. And plus, to be fair, me, you, Sud, Perks, Ted, Pazza, we're all getting a bit older now. You work all day, and the last thing sometimes I want to do is pick up a game and think, it's going to take me 50 hours to see this through.
It feels like I'm doing more work on the game sometimes than I am at work. You know, I'm sitting there just grinding to do one side quest. It's taken 2.5 hours. I've got nowhere, and it's like, right, well, it's time to go to bed now. I'm not going to be playing that game again tomorrow. And that's basically the state that Assassin's Creed Valhalla was in for me. Sure, it's a good game. Sure, the mechanics are polished. I'm sure when you finally get, you know, to the story, it'll be great, but it's just there's just too much of it, and it's not always a good thing. I think people have seen The Witcher 3 and thought, well, look how amazing that game's done. Look how many copies it's sold. Look how many people are still playing it, still buying it now. But the difference is with The Witcher 3, every bit of content in that game feels handcrafted for the player. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like pointless fetch quest. Everything feels well made and well crafted, and that's an absolute, you know, just full marks to CD Projekt Red, because that is one of the best, I believe, the best developed games ever made. It's just so good. There's so much content, and so much of it is quality content.
Agreed.
But not every game can be like that. When you're churning out Assassin's Creed every 2 years and people are making a 50-hour game, you're gonna get side quests that are boring. You're gonna get some that are good, but you're also going to get some that just feel turgid and repetitive, and that's the way it's currently going with a lot of games. It's disappointing to see, to be honest. But
yeah,
I'm sure we'll probably find a middle ground at some point where maybe the game's 30 hours but has better content. At least I hope so, anyway.
Yeah, fingers crossed, mate. Fingers crossed. How long did Spider-Man take to complete? That's a game that seems to spring to mind that felt quite a nice length.
Yeah.
Can't remember, though.
Probably like 12 to 15 hours if you rush through.
There you go.
Miles Morales was a lot shorter. That was a very, very short game. But the original Spider-Man PS4, 12 to 15 hours, nice game. Memorable story.
One of my favourites from the year as well.
One of the best-selling PS4 games. Made them a boatload of money. So there you go. It does work.
Yeah.
These developers and publishers somehow seem to think that a 12-hour story game is dead, but if you look at Sony Studios, literally every single one of their first-party games is a 12 to 15-hour game, and they seem to be selling okay to me. So it's a bit strange.
Yeah,
people somehow think they're just completely dead, like a completely crazy thing to think of. Oh, a 12-hour game? What's that?
No, that's extinct. That,
get the filler in there.
Yeah, well, like you touched on, mate, they seem to do okay. So maybe more studios should think about doing it, because it would be nice. But anyway, let's move on to our last topic of the day, and that is to do with PS5 and even Xbox as well, scalpers. Obviously, the launch of the next-gen consoles, and scalpers have been a massive issue, just pain in the ass, to be honest. But here we are. UK's anti-scalping bill gains support of more MPs after PS5 launch. That follows after, obviously, the next gen. More MPs have backed a proposition which would see it become illegal to resell computer components and game consoles like the PS5 bought with bots. As reported by IGN, Douglas Chapman, the politician who tabled the early day motion in late 2020, said that scalping was going to become more of an issue moving forward. At the time of writing, the motion has been signed by 32 members of parliament. Chapman said, given the experts in the cyber industry now predict the issue of scalping to grow across other important goods and services this year, we are looking at presenting a bill in parliament so that we can further explore legislative options to protect consumers from the unfair practice. Now, I know this is something, Matt, that has obviously annoyed you, annoyed me, annoyed plenty of our friends, because even...
played everybody.
Exactly. And Ted can't get one. He's been on the podcast. Jerba, who's been on the podcast as well, can't get one, because scalpers with their bots are literally just every time it comes out, it's just gone. It's just gone. I mean, yeah. We were fortunate enough, me and you, mate, to get our hands on next-gen consoles, but yeah, this is still an issue with...
that situation.
What'd you say? Sorry.
Not everyone's in that situation, are they?
No, exactly, mate.
I think we are a small minority at the moment. It's a strange situation. I'm glad that they're trying to put that bill through in Parliament. How you'd actually enforce it is another issue. Just the issue in general is just a joke. I mean, we knew that the supply was going to be short going into 2021. We knew there was a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
We knew everyone was hyped for these consoles. You know, it was the first time that a console was maybe on par with most gaming PCs at the moment. You know, I'm sure somebody has a £5,000 rig that's more powerful than the PS5 and the Xbox One, but for £450, you'd be hard pressed to find anything that could compete specs-wise, mm-hmm. you know, with that spec sheet. So
100%.
They're top quality pieces of hardware on both sides, and the way that these scalpers and bots have just completely taken control of the market, you know, just to flip them for £800-900, prey on mums and dads who, you know, can't sit there at work, they can't sit there refreshing an internet page all day. It's just a despicable act, to be honest. It's they're making a quick buck. At the end of the day, you can say it's a free market and you can do what you want, but buying a console and start reselling it for double the price isn't a business.
Yeah.
You know? You're not Alan Sugar. You're just an absolute joke. It's really, really annoying everyone at the moment. And the sooner legislation comes in to regulate the reselling of these consoles, the better. Because obviously, you know, more of them can get into the hands of actual gamers.
Yeah, who actually want to play games.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be interesting. Like you touched on, I don't know how it would actually play out once it legislation comes in. I'd assume that the companies would have to... You know, obviously these resellers that people use like eBay, Facebook Marketplace has even been ones I've seen on there. Obviously, I don't know what else you got, Gumtree, places like that in Britain, whatever. Add in whatever you want, wherever you are in the world. But in Britain, I'm guessing they would have to conform to the new legislation. So if they ever saw anything that was getting priced way above its mark, they'd have to take it down. I'm assuming that's how it'd play out.
If it was written in law, yeah. I mean, that would take a lot of the eBay listings down. eBay's the main one, really. Facebook and things like that. I think a scalper's a lot less likely to sell something on Facebook, especially if it's collection in person, because, you know, they don't want to meet people in person.
People would definitely threaten them. Yeah.
So it's not going to be Facebook. It's mainly eBay where these are being sold. Now, I don't think eBay are currently doing anything wrong. As much as I despise the fact that people are selling things for £900, it's supply and demand at the end of the day, and eBay are a business, and they're getting commission from every single one of these sales. So I don't blame them in a way for not taking it down, but the sooner that legislation is in place, the better, because the majority of the consoles that are being sold, in my mind, are being sold on eBay. Mm-hmm. So the sooner some sort of legislation comes into place, the better. And that they'll just, the scalpers will rinse their stock. You'll see them all go for like just flat retail price. and then we can just get on with our lives and get back to normal. It's yeah. it's a shame, really. It's I think the biggest thing, as being someone who's worked in brick and mortar retail myself, you know, a game for what, 3-4 years, despite the fact that game is a complete and utter rip off of a shop, you know, you go in there and games are 60 quid and then you look on Amazon and it's 45 quid.
Yeah.
The one thing that they did have going for them was consoles. I think most people who bought a console would go to a brick and mortar store to buy it, to have the convenience of being able to take it back and the ease of pre-order, as opposed to having to, you know, go on Amazon and fight, or, you know, bots to try and secure a pre-order. You could just walk into game, put a 20 quid deposit down, and then it was like, right, that's it, done, I'm secured.
Yeah.
And that was a much easier, safer way to do it. And the fact that that option's been taken away because of COVID has really contributed to this. It's like people don't know how to get hold of these consoles, and the ones that do are caught in a, you know, never-ending refresh battle to try and get through pages and pages and pages of queues and error 404. And
mate, it was horrible.
Crashing every single time you try and check out. The websites can't cope, you know. Mm-hmm. They're basically, it's the equivalent of being DDoSed.
Yeah, you know, essentially.
The amount of people that are refreshing and using bots to refresh the page thousands of times, it's like, it's a surprise the websites can cope at all, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, many of them crash, don't they, as a result of not being able to, and then people miss out again. And obviously the bots have already done their job at that point, usually, and pretty much taken up all the stock. When it comes to this, like you touched on, obviously the pandemic's played a massive part. Because I thought back, I remember when it first happened, I remember saying, like, God, I do not remember it being anywhere near this bad when the Xbox One came out. But obviously there was no global pandemic, so that plays a part. But I think the similar thing, I might be wrong, but I think a similar thing happened with the Nvidia graphics cards, didn't it? Weren't scalpers bad there as well? As soon as that came out, obviously stock very limited. Again,
high-value tech items are being targeted. I mean, it's an easy target. You know, there's a lot of people who are gaming at home who really, you know, these technology items in the modern day environment have become the most desirable thing. You know, your mobile phone, your games console, your graphics card. But they're the things that you save for. You know, they're the things that you save up by spending 20 quid on a weekly shop at Aldi. You know, everyone's saving up their money so that they can afford these high-ticket, expensive electrical items. That's true. Always the way it's going to be. And when you have saved up the money and you can't get it, it's just infinitely frustrating, especially for people around Christmas. I mean, I can't even imagine the absolute devastation on my face if I was a kid at this point and I was like, you know, I've been good. Santa's going to get me a PS5.
Were you on the good list, were you?
Probably not, but let's just say, you know, for argument's sake, this year I am. Get a PS5, it's finally coming, you know, and then it gets to Christmas Day, and you don't get your PS5. And
get a lump of coal.
Dad, why does Santa hate me?
Because you've been a little shit. Now, shut up. Mate, I never thought I'd hear the day when Matty Cheatham would be feeling sad on the part of little Jimmy's.
Yeah, you've got to feel for him a little bit. I mean, to not get your console at Christmas, that's like, you know, we know the best part of Christmas is getting your games and or your console. So
yeah,
to have that taken away is just devastating.
I must admit, I would be heartbroken as a kid. So yeah, I do have the sympathy for him as well. So I'm with you on that. But that's probably a good place to leave the podcast for this week. And if you are listening to us on YouTube, please give us a like, subscribe, all that good stuff, and comment with your thoughts on the topics we covered today. What do you think about the Mass Effect bum? What do you think, obviously, about scalpers and obviously the future of Anthem? And if you are listening to us on any audio platforms, please leave us a nice review and pass on the pod. But you can also follow the podcast on social media on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter at CheckReachPod. And you can follow me and Matty on socials. Where can people find you, mate?
At Matty Cheatham on Twitter. Don't use it very often, but if you want to follow, give me a follow on there. Be my guest.
Yeah. And if you want to give me a follow on socials, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Leld, L-E-L-3-D's at a 9 the M for Instagram. But that brings an end to the show. So thanks for joining us again, Matt. It's good to have you back on.
Yeah, glad to be back from the dead. I'm sure you'll be seeing more of me in the near future.
You will. The Phoenix has risen. No, you gotta keep that hair, man. Slim Shady 2.0. But yeah, we'll be back in a couple of weeks with a new podcast covering the latest gaming news that we fancy chatting about. So until then, we hope you have a good week and we'll talk again soon. Bye, guys.
See you later.